for the word.
Good morning. Welcome to Catalyst. Glad you're here this morning. So today we are continuing our series, What is Heaven Like? Last week I said that the Bible teaches that in the future there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And in the future, heaven and earth will become one. The Lord will come down, bring New Jerusalem down, bring his throne down to the new earth, and heaven and earth will be one. God living with us on the new earth. And that means several things. Number one, this is a review from last week. That means a brand new physical earth will be recreated. And for those that follow Jesus, we'll receive a brand new resurrected body. A brand new resurrected body that won't grow old, that won't wear out, that will live forever, will be full of energy and life. Okay? Secondly, it will be, this new earth will be similar to our current earth. It'll be similar to our current earth, except without any sin, without the curse that came about when Adam and Eve, the first human, sinned, without the curse over the earth, and we'll enjoy, I believe we'll enjoy all of the best things that we just taste here on earth now. And it'll be way better. It'll be way better. And then thirdly, since heaven and earth are one, we will get to experience the fullness, the glory of God and his physical presence face to face. And we will see Jesus face to face. So heaven is going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. But maybe you're thinking, yeah, I've heard that. I believe that heaven's going to be cool. Heaven's going to be awesome. But what are we going to do there? What are we going to do in heaven? Okay, it's a physical earth. We have physical bodies. We're going to be doing something, right? What are we going to actually do in heaven? And I've heard some people even think and say, it seems like it might be kind of boring. Might be kind of boring there, because what are we going to do forever in heaven? Well, I think that raises a really good issue. It raises a great issue, and it's this. I believe people really aren't that excited. If you really get into their heart, really not that excited about heaven. Because in general, people don't really know what heaven's going to be like and don't really know what we're going to be doing there. And so, and because of that, I think sometimes people have a wrong picture, a wrong understanding of what the Bible teaches about heaven. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says this. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven. It's right now. It says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And that leads to a very key point for this message today. Right here. The more we know about and anticipate heaven, okay, the more we know about and anticipate heaven, the more it will impact our lives now, here on this earth. The more we know about heaven, the more we have a picture about heaven, the more we know the truth and what the Bible says about heaven, what we're going to be doing there, and what it's going to be, what it's like. The more we know that, the more it will impact the way we live now. So what are we going to do in heaven? What will we do on the new earth? I'm going to give you five things that I believe the Bible teaches of what we're going to do in heaven. Number one, work. Now you might think, oh my gosh, we have to work in heaven. I thought it was going to be like vacation, you know, for the rest of my life. Believe me, if you had vacation for the rest of your life, you would be bored. You would get bored because God created us to have a purpose. God created us to work. Genesis 1:28. This is the beginning. This is when the world was still untainted. Sin had not come into the picture. It was the Garden of Eden, paradise on earth, innocent, no sin. Genesis 1:28, then God blessed them, talking to the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and what? Govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. What does that sound like? Govern it, reign over the animals, take care of the earth. What is that? You know what it sounds like? A four-letter word, W-O-R-K, work. It sounds like work to me because God knows he made us to be people that need a purpose. We need to have a purpose, and that involves work. You know, when Earth was back then in Garden of Eden, paradise, God gave them a purpose. It was to govern. It was to oversee. It was to work. In the new earth, we will have work. We will have purpose, but without the weight of the curse. You know, when Adam and Eve blew it and they sinned, God brought a curse through them upon them and the whole earth. And part of that curse, in Genesis 3, it says part of the curse was that the earth became cursed, the ground became cursed, such that whenever we did work on this earth, it would involve toil. There would be weeds. It would involve pain. It would be sweat. Some of you are saying, yep, that sure sounds like my work. That sounds like my job. In the new earth, not so. Not so. No curse. No curse. What that means is we'll all fully operate in who we were created and meant to be. We will all be purposeful. Nothing will be meaningless. It will all have meaning and value, and we'll be satisfied. And what you produce will last forever. It won't wear out. It won't deteriorate. It won't decay. So it'll have value and meaning for eternity. Of course, there won't be certain jobs. Certain jobs will no longer exist. There won't be any police. No need for police. There won't be any dentists. I'm sorry. Sorry, Kristen and Mike, Mark, you have dental skills. There won't be, because our teeth will not decay, right? There won't be any insurance people. Jason, Miyake, no insurance people. I'm sorry. You're saying, oh, thank God, right? There won't be any funeral directors, right? There won't be any of certain types of jobs, but that's okay. Because you will have a job, you will have work, you will have responsibilities that are perfectly aligned with your passions, your desires, your gifts, your abilities, and you will be happy and satisfied and fulfilled in your job, in your work. And so work will be an awesome thing, and we'll all feel fulfilled doing what we are made to do. Number two, in heaven, you will enjoy relationships. You will enjoy relationships. Genesis 2:18, again before the fall. Then the Lord God said, it is not good. This is the first time in the Bible it says not good. Right? When he created in Genesis 1, he looked after all he created, and almost every day he creates, it says, and God saw it and it was good, and God saw it and it was good, and God saw it and it was good. And after the 6 days of creation, he stepped back, God saw everything he had made, and it was good. Everything was good. You know the phrase, it's all good. It was all good then. It was all good. But here was the first time in the Bible it says something was not good. And mind you, this was before they had sinned. This was before their fall, before the curse. So they were in paradise. Adam and Eve were in paradise in the garden, and they had an unhindered relationship with God. And yet, even in that, God says, something is not good in paradise. When it's perfect, he says, something is not good. What's not good? It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So God created Eve at that time. It was just Adam. God created Eve. And so we see, even when it was perfect without sin, God made us people to need one another. God made us to have relationship with him, but with other people. And that will continue in heaven. I believe that will continue in heaven. And it will be like you have the opportunity to experience all the best times, all the best experiences, all the closest connection and greater than you've ever experienced and that you have experienced here on earth. Some of you might be wondering, well, okay, if that's true, the relationships, we have relationships, what about our families? What happens to our families? Well, in Matthew 12, Jesus says, those who do God's will are my family. He says, those who do my will, anyone who does the will of the Father is my family. So in heaven, on the new earth, we will all be family. We will all be part of God's family. But like on earth now, our individual relationships are still unique, right? Our relationships with each person we have, it's still special and unique. And I believe that will continue on earth. For example, Jesus, who was sinless, right? Jesus was sinless while he was here on earth. He loved everybody. He loves everybody. And yet, he had a special relationship with the 12. And even within the 12, right, he had a unique special relationship with three of the 12. In Revelation 6, it gives a picture, we read this last week, it gives a picture of the martyrs, people who have suffered and died because of their faith in heaven, in the current heaven, right? They're up there in heaven, and they're longing for Jesus to return, for them to get their new bodies for the redemption of all things. And in Luke chapter 16, there's another picture of heaven when it talks about Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man's actually in Hades or hell. And in those two stories and visions, the people in heaven remember their relatives, remember the people on earth, remember things that have happened on earth. And so what that tells me is, what I believe is, in heaven, we will continue to have and remember the special relationships we have with family members, with our family members. we will have and continue that special relationship that we enjoyed on earth, yet without sin. Without sin, without jealousy, without insecurities, without selfishness. We will enjoy time together, life together, meals together, conversation, fun, laughter, and no dysfunctional families. None. It's going to be amazing, the closeness, the relationships, far beyond anything that you've experienced here. But similar to what you've experienced here, just without all the junk. Without all the junk. And just right here, a word for those who have, if you have had loved ones that have passed away, that weren't Christians, that they hadn't put their faith in Jesus, you might be thinking, wow, yeah, that's great. We get to have these relationships continue with family, but what about loved ones that have passed? And I don't think they believed in Jesus. I 100%, without a doubt, because of who God is, I 100% believe when we see God's judgment, God's justice, God's love, God's mercy, the decisions he makes over each and every person, you know what I believe our reaction will be? Awe. We'll be completely amazed, and we will 100% agree with the decisions that God is making. We'll be blown away. We'll give glory to God for each and every decision he makes. So what that means, I believe, is you don't have to worry about family members that have already passed. If they're living now, you want them to know Christ more than anything else. That's the number one. But if they have already passed, you have to trust them with the Lord. You could trust their fate with the Lord and who he is, 100%. And don't let the beliefs of relatives hold you back from pursuit of the Lord or from accepting Christ. I know people who have difficulty receiving Christ or learning about Christianity because of relatives that have passed, because they believe if I receive Christ, they're condemning their relative to hell. That's a real feeling, but they don't have to worry about that because they, I believe, will all be 100% amazed and in agreement with the judgments, decisions God makes. Okay? But in heaven, you'll enjoy relationships. You'll enjoy relationships. Number three, in heaven, I believe we'll learn and grow. We'll continue to learn and grow. This is what, you know, this is a tremendous book. I think this is the book in the contemporary Christian community. And the title of this book, Heaven. Heaven by Randy Alcorn. It's so good. It's so good. It's really opened my eyes, and I learned a lot from this book. But let me read this just short excerpt from this book. Let's see. I had the wrong page marked. Okay, it says this. Someone told me nobody will enjoy playing golf in heaven because it would get boring always hitting holes in one. But why assume everyone's skills will be equal and incapable of further development? Just as our minds will grow in knowledge, our resurrection bodies can develop greater skills. In heaven, we will be morally perfect like Jesus. But being morally perfect does not mean we know everything or we have all power or that we do everything perfectly. If you play golf in heaven, you will not get a hole in one every time. I believe in heaven, we will make mistakes. Can you make a mistake without sin? Yeah, of course you can. So there will be no sin in heaven, but we'll be learning, we'll be growing, we'll be making mistakes, right? We'll be trying to do new things. I think we might even fall down and get a little, you know, a little owie, right? Well, I don't know, because there's no pain in heaven. So I don't know about that. But we will make mistakes in heaven because we will learn and grow. Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Jesus was sinless, but he needed to grow and mature. Why? Because learning and growing is part of being human. Learning and growth is part of being human. But just think, you have eternity to learn and grow and develop your skills. It kind of reminded me of that movie Groundhog Day, right? Groundhog Day, Bill Murray just continues to live, reliving the same day. He keeps waking up, and it's the same day. He dies, and he wakes up again. It's the same day. But in that, it's really a great movie. I think it's a great movie. But after a while, of all these things he goes through, he starts developing. Remember, if you've seen him, he kind of learns piano. He's never played piano. He kind of begins to learn. He takes piano lessons, and then he dies, and he remembers, and he goes piano. And then by the end, he's like this, playing the piano. What have you always wanted to learn? What have you always wanted to do? Oh, I can't do that. I don't have enough time. You will have enough time. You will have. What do you want to do? What do you want to learn? What do you want to know? Imagine the people you can talk to be mentored by. All the biblical characters, you can talk to them, make an appointment, meet with them. All the great people on earth, right? You can be with them and talk to them and learn with them and hang out with them. For eternity, what do you want to do? What do you want to know? What do you want to learn? What do you want to grow in? Can you imagine what life on the new earth is going to be like? You know, they say, science experts say that we only use about 10% of our brains. Can you imagine in a new earth with a new body, a new mind? What if everyone has the ability to use 100% of our minds? Oh my gosh. What about the advancements that'll take place? Crazy. It's going to be, can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Number four, we'll engage in society and contribute to culture. Revelations 21, 24, and 26. The nations, and this is again after the new Jerusalem comes down, after God's throne, heaven and earth become one. This is then. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city, talking about New Jerusalem, in all their glory. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Did you realize that? Did you know the Bible teaches that? That in the new earth, the new heaven, there's going to be cities. There's going to be nations. There's going to be people that are ruling righteously and with love. But there's going to be rulers. There's going to be kings. There's going to be societies. There's going to be overseers. There's going to be all kinds of work and things to be done in the world. But all of the world, the whole world, all these governments, all these will work in perfect harmony together. No curse. No sin. No selfishness. No pride. All those things gone. So we'll be part of larger communities of the family of God. Revelation 7, John sees a vision of every nation and tribe and people and language standing before the throne praising God. You know what that speaks to? Culture. Just going to be all the cultures on earth. every language, every people. That makes me think, what about the cultures that are no longer around? What about like the Mayans and the Incans, right? If they believe in Christ, came to know the Lord when Christ revealed himself, what about these lost civilizations? Will they be there? Maybe. But there will be nations, cultures that will bring. And what comes with culture? Everyone contributing from who they are, from people groups, art. Can you imagine what the art will be like after we have seen and experienced the fullness of the glory of God? Experienced this God's presence every day? Can you imagine the art that's going to come out? What about music? Imagine the music. Music is big in the Bible, right? God created us to be creative people, to be expressive people, right? In the Bible, he anointed craftsmen to actually create the art on the temple. There's some of you that are artists, or that you've always wanted to do art. You have eternity to learn, to express who God made you through art, through music, through song. Agnes Chi, going to be freed up to dance. Where is Agnes? Agnes, you're going to be freed up. You're going to be dancing up a storm. And you're already stepping into now. That expression. What about sports? Have you thought there might be sports in heaven? Where's Blake? Blake Arakaki, where is he? Golf. Golf, Mike, Mamba, golf, right? Golfers. The Bible uses sports analogies to describe the Christian life. So 1 Corinthians 9:24, 2 Timothy 2:5, and other places. Let me ask you a question. Are sports a result of sin and the curse? I don't think so. Right? The Bible refers to sports as an analogy, a positive analogy for the Christian life. There is growth that takes place out of competition, out of challenging one another. Right? Let me just say this. Losing is not a sin. Right? Those little kid leagues, everyone has to get a prize because everyone has to feel like they won. No. There's big lessons we learn from life when we lose, right? Losing's not a sin. Now, there won't be, I don't think, trash talking, right? There won't be any bad sportsmanship, bad attitudes, name calling, outbursts of anger and rage, no. But there could very well be sports helping one another grow and learn. Entertainment. God gave us creativity. And God's the one that created laughter and joy. In fact, Luke 6:21 says, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." And it's talking about in heaven, in the next life, there will be laughter. And then food. Food we will eat. The food is going to be mind-blowing. Some of you might be chefs preparing, and can you imagine what you can do? You get fruit from the tree of life to make meals. It's going to be awesome. I think the best thing, you know, they talk about the banquet feasts of heaven. You know, I think the best thing I ever had was A5 Wagyu in Japan. And let me tell you, when I first put that in my mouth, it was a spiritual experience. It was like, oh, man. Ooh, it just hits your senses, and it was like, wow. That's going to be like leftover trash in heaven. It's going to be amazing. The fifth thing we're going to do in heaven worship Yahweh. Worship in the presence of God Almighty. I think by far, that's the greatest thing. That's the greatest thing we'll be doing in heaven. The most thrilling, exciting, incredible, awe-inspiring, intense, free, moving, life-giving, love-evoking, knee-shaking, riveting, transforming thing we will do by far. By far. It's going to be so incredible to worship in the actual presence of God with millions of people worshiping, with the angels busting out and worshiping. It's going to be awesome. And I'm not just talking about singing before the throne. I'm talking about being in his actual unshielded for our sakes, right? He has to shield us now from his presence, from his actual presence, because we couldn't handle it now, but then we will be able to handle it, and we'll be in his presence 24/7. In all we do, we will never, ever, 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 ever get tired or bored or uninterested in that, because God is the most fascinating, incredible being that there ever is, and he's infinite. And so there's always new things to experience and learn and enjoy and love and just be grateful for in who God is. Revelations 5:13 through 14, we get a little glimpse of heaven and worship. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth, every single created thing, not just people, every created thing on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever." And the four living creatures kept saying, "Amen, amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Every single created thing will be so full of the glory of God and so moved by who God is, will worship him endlessly. Because he's so awesome. We were created to worship. That is the biggest thing we will do and the hugest blessing we will have. Now, just in closing, I'm going to give you just from this whole message, just talking about heaven, just two big takeaways. Number one is this: the more we know about heaven, the more we actually believe about heaven, the more we anticipate heaven, the more we will have a heavenly mindset on this earth and live for God while we are on earth. Colossians 3, which we read in the beginning, says, "Set your mind on the realities of heaven." Some of the things I've been talking about, those are the realities of heaven. It says, set your mind on those things. Think about the things of heaven. Having this heavenly mindset, keeping mindful of what heaven is like and what is waiting for us, helps us persevere through hard times. Helps us focus on what's important on this earth. Helps us not get too attached to this cursed, broken, fallen, sinful world and the things of it. Helps us to be hopeful and positive and excited for what's ahead. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 17. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Heavenly mindset, not too attached to the earth, focused on what's really important now. That's one of the big takeaways about learning about heaven and what it's like. Because it helps us to have that mindset so we live the right way now. Second big takeaway, what we do on earth can ripple into heaven and the new earth for eternity. Luke 19, 16 and 17. This is a story in Luke, the Luke version of the servants and the talents. The first servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount." "Well done," the king exclaimed. "You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward." This is a parable, but I believe it's reflective of the truth. So this servant was faithful with what he was given here on earth and lived accordingly and multiplied it. And what happens? God elevates him to govern 10 cities in the new earth. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged." We will, this isn't a judgment for eternal life or not. This is a judgment for rewards. "We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly Bible." The Bible talks many places about receiving eternal rewards for the things we do now. We all will be equal in heaven, of equal value and worth, but we will have different roles. We will have different responsibilities. We will perform differently. Everyone will be happy. Everyone will be fulfilled in your role, but there will be some roles that are different. Some will be called to govern. Some will be called to lead. Some will be called to oversee. Different responsibilities based on what we did here on earth and what we've been given with what we do with what we've been given. Now, personally, I think that if we get tangible rewards, if we do get some tangible rewards, the Bible does talk about crowns, receiving crowns, the joy of receiving those tangible rewards is not in the satisfaction of having those things. The joy will come with laying those rewards before the Lord and acknowledging him and say, "It's all because of you." Can you imagine? The fulfillment of being able to lay these before the Lord. Say, "Lord, I give, lay these down." Kind of like in Revelations 4, when the elders lay their crowns. You know that group, casting crowns? Comes from that, casting their crowns and presenting them to the Lord. "Lord, this is because of you. We give them to you because of who you are and what you've done in my life." So I think that's really one of the big things. But when we help the poor, that ripples into eternity. When we teach the little ones about God, that will ripple in eternity. Who knows what seeds will be planted and what plants will grow from that and how that will affect the people they touch in their lives. When we help someone to come to know Jesus, to come to salvation, that ripples into eternity and lasts forever. You know, I realized something by going through this. I realize that some things we do on earth, like some of the things I mentioned to you, it will produce a reward beyond rewards. It will produce what I believe is the greatest rewards of all. And that is this. By how we live and the things we do, it could increase within us a greater capacity to experience the Lord. So when we go and see him, people will have different capacities of how much of the Lord they can experience, they could take in, based on how we lived our life. Let me just close with this illustration. This is a new Christian, just came to the Lord, right? They don't know much, but they have a heart for the Lord. And they are open to this Holy Spirit, and they read the Word, and partnering with God, they step out, maybe to help the poor or someone in need. And they regularly do that. And you know what happens to this person? Their capacity to experience the Lord increases. And then they sacrifice some time, energy to mentor and disciple, to work with children, to do infant care, to serve other people. And they give up time, energy, money just to serve in those ways. Their capacity to experience the love of God, the goodness of God increases. And then they focus their time and energy to help family, friends, co-workers, neighbors to meet Jesus. Probably the greatest thing we can do here on earth. And people come to the Lord. Capacity increases. So you have all these different people, the new heaven and the new earth. And we come into God's presence. It's hard for even to get it in. And they're filled up with God. And they're satisfied because they're filled to their capacity with God and his love and his goodness and his life. But this person, because of the way they live their life, has a greater capacity for God. This person, all four are satisfied. But those that lived with a heavenly mindset help bring others to know God. Their experience of the Lord will be greater. All fulfilled. Don't you want this? Life on earth is so short. The Bible says it's a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. What we do ripples into eternity. What we do on earth. Let's keep our eyes focused on heaven, on the heavenly things. And let's live accordingly. Let's bow forward to prayer. Holy Spirit, I felt when Lauren was praying earlier today, I felt your presence. I just sensed your presence. I felt filled with your spirit, with you. And I know it's because you want us to hear your voice and know your word about the realities of heaven and who you are. And you're calling us, Lord, to live as your sons and daughters here on earth as heavenly-minded people. So, Lord, just continue to renew our minds, to shift our mindsets, God, to not be enamored and satisfied with the things on this earth, because that pales in comparison to what awaits us. And Lord, move us, stir us, Holy Spirit, that we could increase our capacity for you. Because there's nothing better. Nothing better, Lord, than you. So thank you, Lord. And as we step out in faith right now to worship you, Lord, to express our love and gratitude and praise, thanksgiving, to lift you up, God. Holy Spirit, may you come and spark and stir heaven-worthy worship now, Lord. May you be blessed as we minister to you right now, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.